The Ron Van Dam Show is not the only cool and entertaining thing that Ron does. He also, well, there's the thing that, no, wait, that's not him. Damn, I guess this is it. It's a good thing someone's listening. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, that was funny.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You think this is all I do? Well, that's not true. I also... But then there's the... But sometimes I like to... Oh, he's right. Wow. I mean, you might think all I do is eat spaghetti because I like spaghetti so much, but that's not true. Just last night I had, but I do love to eat the, no, I don't. Yeah, but when I'm really hungry, I guess I just like spaghetti. I mean, you might also say I always just like to wear pants. That's not true. Sometimes I... No, I... Well, yeah, but how about when I put on my... Oh, no, I don't do that either. No. I guess I really only wear pants. He's right. All right, that's called milking a joke for no reason whatsoever that didn't work to begin with. It's like milking a cow. At first, some milk will come out, but after a while, there's no more milk, and that's what I just did. What the hell's wrong with me? What was that all about? Wow. That's crazy. Don't tell me you're not crazy. I know you. I've read up about you on your Facebook page. You're nuts. Did you ever do that? Did you ever start looking people up from the past to see what they're doing and if they're still alive? So you go to that Facebook page, and then in the upper left-hand corner it says Facebook search, which is a stupid thing to do, but it's there. The bar is there. The bar has been risen. So I type in somebody's name that I haven't really thought of or spoken to for about 20 years, which is everybody I still know, actually. And I type in their names, and it goes to their Facebook page, because everybody has one. If you don't have a Facebook page, you probably had a life. I think that's a good thing, but I'm not sure. I've lost touch with that social aspect. Everybody's got a Facebook page, except for the people that are incredibly intelligent, I guess. I mean, why would you have one of them? So, yeah, I type in their names, and then it shows me all their photos, their social security numbers. It shows me videos of their private parts. It shows me where they went to school, even where they didn't go to school. You go to Facebook pages, it'll tell you about their work history. Ooh, that person's a deadbeat. They only worked at the International House of Pancakes, and then they got fired from there. Now they're at the Cheesecake Factory. I want to be their friend. It shows you everything about them, especially the photos. You got to thumb through people's photos It's like you immediately catch up on their lives. You haven't spoken to them or known of them for 20 years, and now you're looking at the snapshot of the past 20-year history, all the friends they've made, all the children they've had. You had children? Are they're actually your children? They don't look like you. And they love their children. And whoa, that's a whole nother thing. I didn't know they even had children. Pictures of dogs. Dogs that you've never seen a dog like this before. What kind of dog is that? Oh, that's a husky. I've never seen a husky before. What kind of dog do you have? A Shih Tzu. Careful. Don't talk to me like, no, a Shih Tzu. I've never seen a Shih Tzu. Isn't it funny how breeds of dogs look exactly the same? Your dog looks completely different than any dog you've ever seen before in your life. But everybody else's dog looks like everybody else's dog. It's but yours. It's the same with your children. My children are the most beautiful human being creations ever devised by the human race. You take a sperm and an egg, and this, you got this incredible, whoa, my child. And then other people's children? Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, my children are special. Well, yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. My they're beautiful. I've talked about this before. I had a friend who had a young child. And she said, yes, I have a young child. And we hadn't spoken in a long time. And there's always a reason. You know, I haven't seen you for 20 years. Yeah, guess why? Oh, that's right, I forgot. I have a child now. You've got to come over and see my child. She is so beautiful. And then you go over and you look at the child and it's like, oh, God, I wasted gas to come here. But that's where you set up the lies. Isn't she the most beautiful child you've ever seen before? Oh, yes. My eyes have just burned. I've lost sight in one eye because it is such a beholderment to see. Your child is, how did you make a child like this? The loveliness of the child is just, oh, my God. Come on. Did you ever do that with a fly? A fly gets stuck in your house. It's walking up the wall. Before you kill the fly, you don't say, look at that fly. That is the most beautiful fly I've ever seen. All the flies look alike. You can't tell one fly from the other. Unless it's the only fly in your house. But if that fly has another fly, a sister, brother, or fly, that gets into the house and there's two flies, you think it's the same fly because they look exactly alike. Now, is that racially motivated? No, all flies do look alike. Ron, that's not right to say. All flies don't look alike. If you look really closely with a magnifying glass, they're not exactly alike. Yeah, they are. They might be a little different in size, but they look exactly the same. Don't say that. You don't know where that fly came from. One of these flies could have come from New Jersey. And the other one could have come from like Chicago. I don't think they fly that. I know they're called flies, but I don't think they fly that far. Maybe across the street, but that's about it. What an incredible name we gave to these insects. Flies. We could have named a lot of different things flies, but instead we chose this annoying little insect to describe the actual flight of the object. We call them flies. What do? They fly. I don't know. They're flies. Why don't we call birds flying? They're birds fly. Why don't we call them flies?
I saw this beautiful fly at my bird feeder.
What?
I mean, I'm being a beautiful bird at my bird feeder. Oh, God.
Birds fly. Why don't we call airplanes flies? All right, book the trip on a fly. What's a fly? It's an airplane. We call them flies because they fly. Wow. Why don't we call human beings? Why don't we call human beings walkers? My name is Ron. This is my lovely walker, Joan. Say hello, Joan. She's my walker. Yeah, that's what we do. We walk. We move. We walk. Why don't we call ourselves walkers? Why are we? We're jaywalkers is what we are. I don't know what that means either. I have to give you a ticket for jaywalking. I don't understand what you're talking about. You walk like the letter J. How is that possible? What are you talking about? What do you mean I walk like the letter J? You're jaywalking. You can't give me a ticket for something that makes no sense. Maybe I crossed the street without looking at the wrong place. But that's a crossing at the wrong place ticket, not jaywalk. What the hell are you talking about? We name stuff really odd stuff, don't we? Hey, here's a little tip. This show, by the way, will make no sense no matter what you try. Even if you play the show backwards, it will make no sense. Actually, if you play it backwards, maybe it will make sense. Because forwards, it certainly doesn't. I was on YouTube this morning. I was all over it, man. I was on YouTube, and what popped up was unbelievable. There was this guy, he was bald, and he was a doctor. Now, I know, Ron, why did you bring up the fact he was bald? Because he was. And this guy, he's sitting on camera, and he's looking at me, and he's telling me, I found this fascinating, I'm going to try this, and I have to double check it. The guy says he was a doctor, and he says, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to be healthier? And my response was, yes, but it's YouTube. You can't really talk back to them, but I said that to myself. He said, here's what you do. He said, starchy foods will increase your glycemic index. Okay, whatever that means. Now, your glucose levels, if you're pre-diabetic, if you can't speak, if you're pre-diabetic, and if you're over 50 and you're not pre-diabetic, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I say that word? Raise your hand if you're not pre-diabetic. See, nobody raised their hands. Your glucose is fucked up. So, but he said, no, you're not supposed to eat starchy foods. But if you take a potato, rice, or pasta, these are the starchy foods that we all love, but they're not good for you. Not really. Especially the rice and the pasta. Before you're going to eat them, put them in a refrigerator for 12 hours. Take them out of the refrigerator, the rice, the pasta, uncooked. It's not cooked yet. Take it out and then cook it and eat it. You will have changed the chemical composition of the starchy food. Doctor, what? Yeah, and you will not have the glucose spikes. It will decrease your possibility of diabetes. That's an incredible tip. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's like, why didn't anybody tell me this? Why is it just one bald doctor who's saying this? So I got to check it out. I'm going to go on the line. I'll be on the line after the show, and I'm going to check out the validity of those statements. If it's true, I'm going to take my boxes of pasta and my boxes of rice and my potatoes, and instead of just leaving them somewhere, I'm going to store them in the refrigerator so that when I go to cook them, they will be less starchy and the negative effects will have gone away and I'll be much healthier. And you probably say, well, Ron, what happens when you heat up the food? That's making it like hot again, and like, what was the point of refrigerating it? Well, that's what I said to myself too. But the bald doctor went
further to say that the chemical composition of the starchy food in storage, because it's in the refrigerator, has changed so much, just heating it up will not change the chemical composition back to its original form. You've already changed its chemical composition by storing it in a refrigerator. Okay. Check it out, man. You know, you may say, Ron, this is a stupid talk show that you do. You may say that, but I'll say right back to you, well, then you have a stupid life and you're a stupid person. Why wouldn't I just, you know? But this show doesn't do that. It is interesting, healthy facts are built into the show and they'll come out all of a sudden. I have done thousands upon thousands of interviews over the 30 years that I've been doing radio. And I have learned so much from people. I'd say 3/4 of those interviews mean nothing. But the 25% of those interviews, I have learned some incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. All right. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, and maybe you'll learn something from that guest. I don't know. I doubt it, but it's very, very possible. This is my favorite time of year, by the way. Thanks for asking. And the reason it's my favorite time of year is because I'm not sweating anymore. For 3 months, I was sweating all the time. It's not disgusting because you do it too. But I was sick of this 90-degree weather and 80-degree weather. My God, in parts of the country, it was over 100 degrees for like 30 days in a row. I don't know. That's like lost in the desert with no way out. Oh, my God. It's been a grueling summer. And as you know, the scientists, and I can't name them because I don't know their names, and a lot of bald-headed doctors have said this was the hottest year on record. Guess what? They've been saying that for the past 5 years. Every year, it's been hotter than the previous year. If it's a cyclical thing, let's get out of the sickle. If it's not, we're screwed up the ass on the planet. So that's concerning. So when the winter comes psychologically, you say to yourself, oh, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Well, it still is. It's still like really bad. The winter this year where I live in the New England area is supposed to be a warmer winter than usual. That doesn't mean you can't get some snow and some really cold, bizarre, cold, freezing days. But when you add it all up, it will be a warmer winter. Now, is this air currents, El Nino, El Nino, El Pinto, El Santa Maria? I don't know. Perhaps that's an ingredient in the season. But at the same time, you know, come on. I don't mind the milder winters. I think that's okay. I don't ski, so I don't give a shit. But the hotter summers, no. I look at it this way, and I've said this many times before as well, and I think you realize that this makes sense. When it's really, really hot outside, like 100 degrees, I can't do anything about it but stay out of the heat. The warnings are don't go outside, you will melt and die. Don't overexert yourself because I can't take my skin off. And if I take my skin outside, which is always on my body, I'll get skin cancer because the sun is going to radiate me like a rotisserie chicken. But in the winter when it's freezing outside, yeah, I mean, you can freeze to death, but there's clothes, there's pants, which I apparently wear all the time. There's sweaters, there's overcoats, there's blankets. There are ways to layer yourself. I mean, not when it's freezing, 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 freezing cold. You can die like that. But there's an option to put more stuff on your body, to wrap yourself in those silly things they sell on TV that looks like a blanket with a hoodie
It's like a robe, but it's a blanket. You look like a schmuck in it, but you're warm. You don't care. You can have soup. Soup will make you warmer. You can eat hot foods. There's comfort foods. They call it comfort foods because there's fat in it. So there's things you can do in the winter on the average. In the summer, you're screwed. You can't go outside. You'll burn. You'll sizzle. You'll sizzle like a piece of meat because you've taken everything off. There's no way you can be any cooler. Can't do much in the summer when it's too hot. You can go into air conditioning. Ever try paying for air conditioning? It makes a lot of noise and it's extremely expensive. In the winter, chop up some firewood. I mean, don't chop your trees down or anything. That's horrible, but they sell firewood and, you know, you can buy stuff and it's not that expensive. You know, you have radiated heat. It's not too bad. There are ways to get around the cold stuff. If you have a fireplace, you can light that up. I think it sucks all the air out of the room, but that's besides the point. But there are options there. Summer, no options. No options. You're screwed. You'll burn. You'll burn alive. So this is my favorite time of year because it's on its way to cooler stuff and I can live better. I can wear prettier clothes. What can I wear in the summer? Wear something that, tank tops. Women wear dental floss. You wear as little as you can. In the winter, you can have a wardrobe. You can mix and match colors and layer your clothes. And, you know, there's so many more options in dressing up and going out and doing things. You know, you can start matching things again. In the summer, it's just like, you know, color of your shorts and the color of your T-shirt. I mean, that's really all there is. Summer is a very uninteresting wardrobe situation. Winter opens up a whole world of possibilities. So don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us. And then more show. Okay? Is that a deal? Yeah?
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear? But you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Katie Kobe's here. She's next door's head of community. Ooh, did you get voted into that position?
I mean, by someone at one point.
Okay, good. Okay. Tell me about next door, first of all. A lot of people aren't familiar with it. It's a fairly new concept. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so next door is the neighborhood app. You can actually download it straight from either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, depending on what mobile device you use. Mm-hmm. And we are all about connecting neighbors together in neighborhoods. So when you join next door, you're going to automatically be connected to the people, the businesses, the mm-hmm. local public agencies that are closest to where you live.
Yes, so it's kind of like organized for you. I mean, some neighborhoods do this on their own, but it's a lot of work and a lot of information gathering and all that stuff. But this is already done for you, right?
Yep, exactly. It's all the hard work is we take care of that.
Okay, good, good. I like that when someone else does the hard work and I reap the benefits. It's pretty cool.
Same.
Okay. In this day and age, as we all know, getting down to business here, things happen. And when things happen around you, you need support and you need some help sometimes and you need ideas. And that's where Nextdoor apparently comes in a way that people really never thought. There's a lot of bad weather these days, for example. I mean, how does that come into play?
I think we've all seen this, regardless of where you might happen to live, that the frequency, the severity, and just the overall number of extreme weather events that we see has been on the rise. I read a stat over the last 10 years, nearly 90% of all counties in the U.S. have declared some sort of a natural disaster or state of emergency.
Right. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, especially flooding, apparently it's on the rise. I don't mean that as a pun, but I mean, that's like serious stuff. And a lot of people don't know, like first time my place ever flooded. I don't know why that happened. It just rained a lot. And I mean, your neighbors, have you gone through the same thing? And that's where this comes into play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially during flooding, any sorts of like major weather disasters, we find that emergency services can be easily overwhelmed. And so that's where neighbors really matter. Your neighbors are an incredible resource, right? They're the people who live closest to you. They're likely experiencing similar issues.
Right.
And maybe there are folks out there who can help you depending on what it is you need.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people may say, well, I already know my neighbors and, you know, we talk about these things and fine. And that's nice if you're talking about a really small community of three houses or three apartments or something. But I guess Nextdoor kind of opens that community up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think of it as like almost like, you know, when you throw a rock into the pond and you see the ripples spread out, like that's kind of how Nextdoor is, right? The smallest ripple is your kind of main neighborhood, main couple of blocks where you live, and then it ripples outward. And so in the event of a weather emergency, again, everybody in that ripple is experiencing something and may need help or may be able to provide help. And that's where we can help connect you with more folks who are more relevant to what you need.
Wow. You should have been a philosophy major with the ripple thing. That's pretty cool. I like that. All right. Some people haven't heard of this before. Where do you go? How many thousands of dollars does it cost to join? That kind of thing.
Well, we are free, which is wonderful. You can just go to nextdoor.com to sign up or log in if you already have an account. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. Again, you can visit it from either your computer at home if you do that, or you can download the app straight from the App Store and get started that way.
And so when you're into it, what actually happens? Do you hook up with anybody individually or as a certain faction of a grouping? How does that work?
So as we talked about earlier, we do all the hard work connecting you to the people who are nearby, right? So when you open up Nextdoor and you land, you're kind of in this main sort of feed-like experience where you can post into the feed. This is a great place to introduce yourself if you're new to the area. If you're interested in creating some sort of like a plan or to get to know people, you can post about that too. If you need help with anything, and all the time people are asking for help and we're constantly seeing neighbors come together to help each other. If there's a very like specific topic that you want to dig in on, that's when we have groups are available. You can either create your own group to talk to people about a particular topic. If maybe you've got like on, you know, my neighborhood, I have a block that I'm really, really close with. You can have a private group just for the people who live on that block with you. So there's a lot of different ways to engage either with people individually, with the different local businesses and public agencies that use the platform as well.
Okay. What if I have a snowblower and, I'm moving to Florida? Does that help me out? Can I say, hey, I got a snowblower moving to Florida. Anybody want to help?
You absolutely can. We have a really wonderful feature called For Sale and Free that's kind of like a marketplace. So, you know, you could bring your snowblower to Florida. Maybe it helps with blowing the leaves away. I'm not entirely sure. Or you could put it up on For Sale and Free and see if there's another neighbor locally who's interested in taking it off your hands free.
Cool. By the way, Katie, I'm not moving to Florida, just in case you care.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. All right. One more time, where we go to get into the app and get the information.
to get into the app, to get everything that you need, you want to just go to nextdoor.com and hit that sign up button and log in, and you'll find everything that you're looking for.
That's it. She's Katie Kobe. She's the head of community at Nextdoor. Check it out. Couldn't hurt. Thanks for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, make this a great day. Will you do that for me? I wish you peace.